result, man. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful, thing. Laugh a little more, thing. Tighten up your core, thing. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Okay, it's Thursday again, so we got another Four Things podcast. So today we're going to be running through an interview with Jeremy Cowart. Like, he is a super famous photographer. In fact, he's been named most influential photographer on the internet before by places like Forbes and Yahoo and Huffington Post. And he's photographed like super famous people like Taylor Swift and Carrie Underwood and the Kardashians. And he's got great stories, but he also has or is making a major impact in this world with photography. And we're going to talk about all the cool things that he's done and this really cool hotel idea that he has. I mean, this guy is pretty inspiring. So I hope you enjoy my little chat with him. We're also going to talk about a motivation hack. Let's see, what the guac? Yeah, I'm calling it that because it's talk about avocado. Get it? What the guac? Like guacamole? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then this cracker that you need to be eating because it's like full of fiber and it makes you feel full or something. Which, speaking of crackers and food, Lisa from At The Well Necessities, who has come on the podcast before a couple of times. And I know when she's on, her mission of Fork the Noise has come up. It's a class that you can take online where it just teaches you to shut off the noise in your head when it comes to food. Like, put a fork in it, you're done. I mean, I don't know that she says that per se, but I'm going to go ahead and say that. And I want to tell you all about something she's doing super special for you, my listener. She created, because there was such good feedback from y'all and her wisdom when it comes to just modern day mindful eating, which she kind of describes it as like, I want you to just sit back for a second and imagine what it'd be like to be around like chocolate or regular pasta. Maybe it's not even gluten-free, or pizza, and like be around it and not feel guilty or not feel like you have to have this crazy amount of willpower to not, you know, eat it. Like, you could actually maybe keep Oreos in your home and you don't have to like keep stuff out of sight, out of mind. And I also learned from Lisa that we make like 200 food choices a day. And that is literally a nightmare if you're obsessed with controlling what you eat, which Lisa's been there. I've been there. A lot of you listening, maybe you have been there. And that can just be, it's such an energy sucker. It's a good time sucker. Like, you miss out on life events because you're like freaking out about, well, what am I going to eat there at that party? And blah, blah, blah. And I think I put on Instagram, I don't think I've shared on the podcast yet. Maybe. I don't think. But like, I ate a turkey sandwich over my vacation when I was in Colorado a couple of weeks ago. And this is one of those things where you're just kind of in the moment, because that's all that was being offered for lunch. We had gone hiking. There was like 15 people. Somebody else brought all the food and they brought stuff to make turkey sandwiches. And I can't even tell y'all the last time I had a turkey sandwich, but it was, and I probably would not have had it had I not recently had Lisa on the podcast. I would have just been like, I guess I'll get some lettuce and this tomato here and maybe put some mustard on it. And is that bread gluten-free? And I don't know. It just would have been this whole energy sucking process. And I would have been annoying and no fun to be around. And I would have been hungry. And then that turns into hangry. So anyway, because Lisa had come on and talked to me about modern mindful eating. And it's like, if that's what's there and it actually does, if it had been something there that didn't even sound appealing to me, then I don't think it would have been an issue. But part of me was like, maybe I kind of miss having a turkey sandwich. Like, why am I not having it? I'm in the mood for it. Let's see what this is all about, because I have forgotten. And I made a turkey sandwich and like everyone in my family was staring at me like, what the heck is happening right now? Amy's making a turkey sandwich. My husband was like cheering me on and smiling because he knows that sometimes my anxiety that I have around food that I can't control. And he was like so proud of me. And it's like I was like spreading the mayo and like putting the turkey on the bread and whatever. And he was like, that's my girl. You got this. That's my girl. And so then I got the turkey sandwich and I ate it and it was amazing. Like, it was so good. Now, I'm not freaking out about the turkey sandwich. Like, I had it. It was great. If I ever get in the mood for one again, I guess I'll have it. And now I know that my body's not going to fall apart because I ate a turkey sandwich. And it was actually really awesome. I even had a few chips on the side. It's pretty clutch. But that's because I was really trying to practice what Lisa teaches, and she teaches in the Fork the Noise course. is that, you know, when you put something off limits, then you obsess over it. Like if I have for some reason been like, oh, turkey sandwiches are off limits, and then I looked at it as like some sort of like cheat situation for me, I would have maybe normally eaten the turkey sandwich and that would have derailed me. And I would have been like, well, I already ruined it. I had a turkey sandwich. I had the bread. I had the chips. So I might as well have the cookies and the ice cream and the, what are the kids eating, and the Cheetos and blah, 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 blah. And it would have like been this domino effect. Follow me? Well, it wasn't. I ate the turkey sandwich. I got full and I moved on with my day. And I think I ended up having like a healthy dinner. Like it didn't derail my day. And I know that you're right now, you're probably thinking, wait, I'm so confused because a turkey sandwich sounds healthy. But like I swore off lunch meat like a long time ago because I thought it was bad. And then like having two slices of bread on like a sandwich and mayonnaise and then the chips, like it, normally that would have thrown me and it didn't. And I credit my conversations and my some of the research that I've done with Lisa and her modern mindful eating approach. So all this to say, definitely rambling here, but Fork the Noise is her program. And she, it is, if you want to register and be a part of it, if this is you, I think there's like maybe 10, only 10 or 12 slots open or something. I don't even know if some of those have filled up, but she does have a special discount for you guys. And you just have to go to amy.forkthenoise.com. So that's a custom URL just for us. And that's where you'll see the savings. And I don't know. I just feel like if this is something you feel like you need in your life, like a course that'll help you out and allow you to enjoy life more, then I think you should check it out. And thank you, Lisa, for offering that discount to my listeners. Okay, so I guess now that that is said, we'll get on to the podcast. I really, really think y'all are going to love Jeremy. Like he's the bee's knees.
First thing, that's right.
Okay, so as promised, Jeremy Cower is here and super excited. And before we were even going on, I'm like, ooh, so how do you introduce yourself? Because like, I think I was calling you a celebrity photographer, but you have so much more in your life than that. And you're an artist, you're a creator, you're a visionary.
I'm just professionally ADD.
Me too.
Yeah.
Were you officially diagnosed ever?
You know, I wasn't, but both of my brothers were, and I think I'm even worse than them. So I'm just assuming that it's official.
And do you think that played into some of your stuff as a kid, like not just some background? And there's a video on YouTube that I would encourage all of you to go watch, and we'll link it at radioamy.com so you can find it, but it's called I'm Possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what was like that inspired your book, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in that video is where I learned that, you know, you struggled in school big time.
Yeah.
And so do you think that ADD played a role?
Probably so. I just wasn't wired like the other kids in terms of, ADD. I mean, I was very quiet and I was just always in Jeremy land, just always daydreaming and very creative. And my grades weren't awful, but they weren't good either. Just kind of an average B, C, sometimes D student, you know, and I just blended in. And so I just never thought I'd be good at anything because I based my value on my grades. So I had to kind of unlearn that over time. But yeah, just kind of an average kid.
Yeah. And then it was kind of at your parents' encouragement, like going into more of an the computer programming type stuff or like Photoshop or what was it specific, like Photoshop. And then it's just to fast forward through like how you got to photography. It was like you did that and you worked for some ad agencies. And then you started working in the music industry doing like web design, Photoshopping for like
graphic
CD covers,
design,
album covers. And then you got a camera.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And then people started paying you to take pictures and you're like, what is happening? But I think, and I don't know if I missed this part in the video, but was it like, because of your relationships with the record companies, like doing maybe the graphic design side, is that how you got in with the photography and then you were able to photograph people like Sting and Taylor Swift and I don't know. I mean, really, well, and the Kardashians, like they're on the list too.
Pretty
but
random.
So how did that start?
Yeah, it was all accidental. You know, living in Nashville, I first, quit my ad agency job to start designing for my friends. I went to college with, Dave Barnes, and then I remember when he met Matt Wirtz, and so I would just do their...
Okay, so he was kind of a foot in the door there?
Yeah, I mean, just all my, just being in Nashville, all my buddies were musicians, and so I would start designing for them. They would get signed to labels, the labels would then hire me, and over time, you know, I bought my first digital camera and just fell in love with shooting whatever around me, textures. And then my friends would ask me to shoot for them. And so it just was all very organic and, you know, happenstance. And one thing led to another. Then I got a job where I beat out a Hollywood agent and her roster of photographers. And then that took me to that next level of shooting for TV networks and movie companies and all that.
Mm-hmm. And so through your photography, some really cool things have happened. And I think it's because you just were like, there's more to this than just like taking these pictures. Pictures tell a story, and there's so many stories. And I love the various projects that you've done. One in particular I want to talk about, because I think it was so fascinating. Again, it was in the video, was the forgiveness project in Rwanda.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell people about that, and then how you thought of that. And that happened after the Haiti one, right? Mm-hmm. Haiti was the first.
Yep.
So maybe actually we should start there, which, side note, Jeremy has adopted from Haiti as well. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we have that in common, which is the first time I ever met Jerry. Jeremy was over at the Hamilton's house. Mm-hmm. And there was some People magazine shoot on
random
adoption that Scott and Tracy were doing, and we were all there. And, so that's the first time I ever met you. But and how many kids did y'all adopt?
We adopted two. We have four total.
Four total, adopted two. So I think we're going to do an adoption talk separate from this, and it'll air at another time, because I feel like that's a world people are very curious about, and you and I have that in common. So I guess with the project side, we'll start with Haiti, because the earthquake had happened, and you decided to go because... you know, they had a story to tell. And like you were here, and like the technology, the days, like we can just kind of tweet out whatever. Well, they couldn't do that. So like your thing behind that was, I'm going to go and I'm going to help them tell their story.
Yeah. At the time, Twitter was still pretty new. I mean, even most of my friends weren't on Twitter yet, but I'm always an early adapter. And so, when the earthquake struck, I was like, I want to go down and give the people of Haiti a chance to have a visual microphone of sorts, because the media was just really telling the statistical side of everything, and I wanted to share the stories. I kind of on a whim decided to get down there right after the earthquake and use photographs to act as a visual message of sorts, where I'd have people literally pick up a piece of rubble and write on it with art markers, you know. And so spent about 2 weeks down there doing that project. It really took off and got a ton of publicity. And, that led me to wanting to do a lot more of those projects, because they were so fulfilling, much more so than shooting the next celebrity, you know. So that really planted the seed of wanting to use my work for good.
Mm-hmm. And so that led to the project in Rwanda, the Forgiveness Project.
Yeah. My friend Laura Waters Henson was doing she had just done a documentary called As We Forgive, talking about the extreme forgiveness people were doing over in Rwanda after the 94 genocide. And so I was like, we should do what I just did in Haiti, but with your people in Rwanda. So, these people are, you know, going through this program to forgive each other for murder, which is just crazy. I can't imagine taking a picture with somebody who killed my brother or my parents, you know. But that's a level of reconciliation taking place over there.
Yeah. So if you go to Jeremy's website, it's jeremycowart.com. And under ideas, you can scroll and you'll see Forgiveness Project. And that's where you talk about the voices of reconciliation. And some of those pictures are so powerful. Like right now I'm looking at, is it Jaspard or Gaspard? How to say his name?
I think Gaspard,
Gaspard. So he's locking arms with Innocent, and named after he was forgiven. Mm-hmm. They're like 35 and 38 years old. And one of them killed the other one's brother.
Yeah.
In
It's insane.
The genocide. So it's so crazy. And then you have a photo of them and they're at the scene where it happened.
They're at the exact place, yeah, where the crime took place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, can you imagine that, like, in America?
I can't. That's exactly the thought I had as I was like, gosh, it's like almost like only in a place like that.
Yeah.
Do I feel like something like that happens?
Yeah, for sure.
Because would that happen here?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Unlikely.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, these photos are very powerful. I encourage y'all to go check them out. And there's under the ideas, I mean, that's where there's the earthquake relief, hurricane relief. What's child art therapy?
Yeah, I collaborated with an organization called Exile International, and they do art therapy with former child soldiers, kids who have been abducted by the army and forced to kill with their own hands and machetes. And anyway, so this organization goes over there and works with them to process everything and get it out of their systems and through art and to heal, essentially. My friend Bethany Matthew Williams are the founders of Exile. And so I worked with them to do another project where we use art therapy to do all that and kind of work through what they've been through.
Yeah. And there's a little bit about that in the YouTube video as well. And it shows some of the art, which is pretty, I mean, you couldn't even show some of the stuff because it was so graphic, like what they were having to relive through the therapy.
It was insane.
Through the drawing. Yeah. And those are pieces that then, you know, you did some Photoshop thing all together and then you did your art on top. I don't know. It looked extremely cool and way over my head, but it was amazing.
I just do a lot of abstract art. And so, I took their photos and their portraits and the stories and I combined them all to make these mixed media pieces of art.
Yes. So again, that's all in the YouTube video too. And it's also on his website. You have to check it out because it's awesome. And then you would then sell that art.
Mm-hmm. Sell it to raise more money for them. So 100% of the money went back to their continued therapy.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, while we're on the YouTube video, it's called I'm Possible. That was what jump-started the idea for your book, which is called I'm Possible, Jumping into Fear and Discovering a Life of Purpose.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, wasn't planning on trying to be an author doing a book, but I got approached by my agent, Esther, and she said, your story is amazing and needs to be a book. So can I pitch it? And I was like, sure.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, very accidental. Yeah.
And so in the this video, too, is something that you mention a lot in the beginning is I can't. Well, even later in life, too, even when you got a camera, you're like, well, I can't. Or even when you had ideas for what you wanted to do, you're like, oh, like a global. This is amazing that you do this. Do y'all do this every year
this year will be our 10th year.
Okay. And you know what I'm talking about. People are probably like, wait, what global thing? But you had this idea where you wanted to gather people and so that they could have their picture taken.
Yeah.
And then it led to other photographers coming in, volunteering their talents to take pictures, and people would show up. And when you do something like this in places where they don't have cameras, some places don't really have many mirrors.
Yeah.
And like they've never seen a photo of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing it here in the US, but then also around the world. But what made me think of it is because that's a vision that you had, an idea you had, and you're like, a global, we're going to take this thing global?
Yeah,
like, I can't.
Yeah.
But then something your dad always told you when you were younger, and I think that a lot of us, I mean, if you grew up going to church or your parents would give you scripture. Like, I remember my mom always telling me, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But, I mean, he really, that's something that you did use, your dad did give you, and that you did stuck with you, and you've used it in various points in your life.
Yeah, it kind of became his very predictable response to anything. I'm like, Dad, I can't play baseball, or I suck at piano, whatever it was. And he'd be like, Philippians 4:13. And I think just the encouragement of my parents and the support in that verse, just it's confidence building. And so, over time, I think I did start to believe in myself. not only through their encouragement, but they would always like literally, you know, support the interest. So when I first expressed interest in art, next thing I know, I had an art table and all the art supplies, like they were always right on it in supporting my natural interest. And I think that's a huge lesson for parents. I think a lot of times parents are afraid of their artsy kid, you know, and they don't know what to do with it. But if they just support it, you know, they'll be amazed at what can happen. So anyway, so yeah, they, I had this idea for a global movement where photographers just gave back to people in need and took their pictures. And so we did it the first year here in Nashville, and it was amazing, just so beautiful. And it was so good that I was like, this needs to be a global thing, because I'm foolishly brave, I guess, to think that it could go global. But I used the industry, all my peers in the industry, to help spread the word on blogs back when blogs were legit. And then, that first year, we were in 44 countries, you know, the first attempt. And ever since then, it's, it's just exploded. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's called Help Portrait. And if anybody browses the hashtag Help Portrait, all one word, on Instagram, they'll see for themselves the endless stories out there. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And some people, just to give an example too, how it's like can be a game changer for someone. Again, having a photo of themselves maybe they never had.
Yeah.
But also having a new picture or headshot they can use for an interview.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, just things that we may take for granted that we have. I mean,
absolutely.
A really big deal.
There are just stories for days. But yeah, people have gotten jobs. People have mailed their pictures to family they haven't seen in decades. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So again, Jeremy's super inspired. Like you've got, I feel like your ideas are not done. Like you have so many cool things that are out there that you've accomplished and you've done and people have been inspired by and they're continuing to go on. And then there's the Purpose Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell people about that because that's an amazing vision. I want to know like what... Is that something that came to you? Was it a group of friends? Were y'all just sitting around? I'm like, how can we create a space where people can come and they can stay? And really every, you know, part of their visit is going to impact the world.
Yeah.
In a positive way. From your Wi-Fi supporting going towards human trafficking.
Yeah. Well, fighting against it.
Fighting.
Yeah.
But I mean, supporting the fight against.
I've said
thank
the same
you.
Thing.
I know.
I'm so like, I've had to learn. Had to learn my lesson.
Back up.
It's not going to support human trafficking.
Right. You know what I mean?
It. Yeah.
It's going towards the fight. And, I just feel like even the little and down to the keys, the hotel keys and giving keys being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure all the decor. I feel like each room is the plan to sponsor. Will sponsor a child?
Yeah, will sponsor a child and tell their story.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Tell me how the Purpose Hotel came to be. In
The most crazy way. I hate to, over-spiritualize it, but I was basically on a photo shoot in Los Angeles. I had moved to Los Angeles for a year, and soon after I got there, I had a photo shoot, and I was walking through a hotel in Los Angeles for a meeting, just walking in my room. And as I walked through the hallway, they had the room numbers designed like old school name tags. Like I said, hello, my name is room 121. And I just thought, oh, that's cool that they did that. And then I thought, but it'd be cooler if the room numbers had a story that you could read if you wanted to, if you had the time. And I was like, oh, that could be the story of a child. And it could sponsor a child and tell their story. And then I looked down on my room key and had the idea for the giving keys. And then when I walked in the room, it was like the movie scene where everything transforms in real time. Because I looked at the art, thought of all my humanitarian artist friends. I looked at the, soaps and shampoos, thought of Thistle Farms here in Nashville. The internet feed, the desks, the blankets. There's nonprofits that do amazing cause-related blankets. And basically the whole room just transformed. The whole idea from start to finish was about a 60-second process where it was like a waterfall of vision, even the name, even the tagline that we're still using to this day, change the world in your sleep. It was all like the Purpose Hotel, change the world in your sleep, every product, every room, it's just one of those moments. And I remember I sat down for my meeting. I was like, yo, I'm sorry if I'm distracted, but I'm having an idea for an entirely new global hotel chain. like right now, like in this very moment. And I just told them as it came off the top of my head, and they were all just kind of like speechless. And they're like, that's amazing. But we got to do this photo shoot, you know? So, anyway, and I went home that day and I told my wife, she's used to my ideas. And I have so many ideas that she doesn't really acknowledge them very much.
Oh,
she's like, uh-huh. Oh, cool. I'm running to Target. I'll be back later.
Yeah.
But this time, and I fully expected her to be like, no, we're not building a hotel. And so I came home and I started telling her, and she just started crying, like immediately just started weeping because she got it. You know, she got the vision. And she's only probably loved two ideas in our entire marriage of 20 years.
Wow.
And that was one of them. And I've probably told her about hundreds of ideas because I have them all the time. But yeah, and the other one, the other idea that she loved was her portrait, which we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a huge heart. And anytime there's an idea that involves serving others and loving on people, you know, she's going to be have that response. And so anyway, but then long story short, I spent 3 years in fear of it because it was just so big. I was 35 at the time working for myself. What freelance artist goes and builds a global hotel chain? You know, like
right.
The math didn't make sense. But then in 2015, we decided to start moving towards it. And now we're running towards it with management and architects and designers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So here we go. First one will be here in town.
Uh-huh. And so, yeah, Nashville's first stop, but yeah. When you say global, I mean, have you shared it? I don't know if there's like the other cities that are in mind or where you'd go
we
next.
We have talked to a lot of other cities and have even been pitched specific locations, but I think we're just trying to
get Nashville.
Zone in on this first one. Yeah.
Well,
get it up first and go from there.
People that I talk to in town, they're super excited for it. Yeah. And I feel like it's the perfect place because people are all coming here. I know a lot of my listeners, they come to Nashville. So if they haven't heard of it and they're now hearing of it now and they go and they learn more, I feel like some of them are going to be so excited. And I know that they'll make it part of their stay. Like they'll come to Nashville probably even simply to stay at the Purpose Hotel. Like, why are you going to Nashville? Well, there's this hotel I want to stay at.
Yeah.
Normally you go for other reasons and you find a hotel.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a place where people are going to like want to come to the hotel. So then they find things in Nashville they want to do.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it's special.
It's going to be, I mean, the day it opens will be the greatest day of my life, professionally speaking. It's going to be amazing.
Is there a day it opens time frame?
I mean, we have 22 on the, you know, the target on the calendar, probably summer of 22 as of right now. Mm-hmm. But we all know that subject to change, you know, could be end up being 23. Who knows?
Well,
but
we will be cheering y'all on.
Thank you.
In the next, like, it's hard to believe that's only a couple years away.
Well,
so,
I just driving into your office, I was at that red light looking up at the new Virgin Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Our architects did that hotel.
Nice.
And so it's just fun to think that soon we'll be looking up at the Purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have goosebumps when I think about it because I feel like even me and my husband and my kids, you know how people do staycations?
Yeah.
I'm going to come do a staycation.
It's amazing.
At Purpose Hotel.
I wish I could get into, I mean, there's so, so many more ideas that it will do that we haven't even explained yet. I mean, it's so much deeper than just that surface, what the rooms will do. It's going to be pretty special.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is there any?
Yeah, I can share one more idea.
Okay. So I love your ideas. I mean, and people, when you hear other people's ideas, someone listening, they might be inspired by something you're saying, like trigger something in their brain, or they'll be encouraged that like, if I have an idea, I should go for it.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even if you fail, you're going to learn from it. So that's why I'm really never afraid of failure because I'm still going to gain some huge lessons out of it. I failed a lot in my ideas, that's for sure. So another idea that I had probably last year for the hotel, I remember when I told my kids and wife about this over Mexican food, I like wept. I was so excited about it. So the idea would be that when December rolls around would be to partner with National Rescue Mission, specifically the female side where we work with all the moms, single moms and their kids to find out what they want for Christmas. We publish that list to kind of hotel supporters, the city of Nashville, ask people to buy those gifts, right? And then they would come and bring them, wrap them and put them under the tree in the lobby. So we'd have this huge tree in the lobby full of presents. And Christmas Eve, the hotel is no longer open to the public. It's only open to all those women and their children. So the hotel becomes a homeless hotel for the most special night of the year. And all these moms and their kids stay at the hotel. Christmas morning, they all come down and open gifts from the city of Nashville.
Do you see my arms right now?
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, how amazing would that
no,
be?
No, it's
right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And so in
cool.
Every hotel that we build in the future
right.
Would not be open. Like, Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays. We'll never be open on Christmas
mm-hmm.
because we'll convert to a homeless hotel.
Yeah.
So, be incredible.
Keep on with those ideas.
So, like, it's things like that that I really get pumped about.
You have a gift.
It's gonna
like,
be fun.
Of.
And I will be there too with my family, and we'll all just cry all day. It'll be great.
Yeah. Get it all out. Well,
it'll be amazing.
I mean, you're an inspiration. I totally admire, you know, what you do with your gifts and your talents. And
well, thanks.
And thank you for having ideas and not being scared to,
yeah,
to go after them, even though maybe
I'm
your
still
initial,
scared.
Well, but even if your initial thought is, oh, I can't,
yeah,
that you forge ahead.
Well, yeah, it's a big point to discuss because the fear is always still there.
Mm-hmm.
Every day I still have
yeah.
my resistance and I can't. And because people ask me all the time, when did you overcome fear? I'm like, I didn't. You know, I'm terrified every day, but I just know that, you know, God gives us these ideas for a reason. They're like little paper wads of messages he gives us. We have to go, you know, try to make them happen. And so despite our own voices of resistance and doubt and all that.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing some of this with us today. And then we'll get into an adoption talk.
Cool.
And put that on another episode so
that
people can
good.
Check that out if they've been interested. And I feel like I'm going to be maybe soaking up. You've been an adopted parent longer
mm-hmm.
than I have.
Oh,
so if you have any wisdom.
Learn from each other.
Or just even yeah. parenting in general, because you do have two biological children as well. So, but thank you for coming on today. And then definitely y'all check out Jeremy, jeremycowart.com. It's where you can find all the things. And he will be back. Okay, if you're like me, sometimes you need a little motivation hack. And I saw this one that Mel Robbins posted. Her Instagram handle is at Mel Robbins, MelRobbins. Now, I will say my next three things that I'm sharing with you. So first thing was Jeremy, and then there's this thing, and then I've got an avocado like trick that I learned coming up, and then this crazy cracker that you might need to buy if you're wanting to like eat a cracker but also suppress your appetite. So I learned the next three things all on Instagram. So I'll be giving the handles of people that I follow where I learned this stuff. And this one came from Mel Robbins' account. And she did this whole post on working out on vacation, how she even motivates herself to do it. And she does so by giving herself a reward, and why she does it is based on science. So I'm just going to go ahead and read her post. So when you hear me talking, these are her words. This is her talking. So she said, "How do I get my booty to yoga even when I'm on vacation? I always buy myself a treat afterward. Why? Science. Try this habit hack. If you struggle to exercise like me, use this trick to force yourself to get it done. You know I love my research, so this is all based on science. It works like a charm. First, let's talk about habits. Habits have three parts: the trigger, the pattern you repeat, and the reward. Here's how I use three parts of habit to hack motivation. One, place the trigger. I lay my clothes out the night before, and when I walk into my closet, boom, seeing them on the floor triggers me to remember the commitment I made to exercise. Two, do it anyway. To force myself to repeat the pattern I hate, I use the 5-second rule, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get out the door, and remind myself that even though I don't want to and I don't feel like it, I'm going to do it anyway. Three, the reward. This is the most important part of creating a new habit. You must reward yourself. I always, always get myself an iced latte after I exercise. Here's why. Your brain remembers the iced latte is the reward. So when you see your exercise clothes on the floor of the closet, you don't even think about exercise. You crave an iced latte. When you are in kickboxing or the gym or on the yoga mat, your mind drifts to the iced latte. It's freaky, and trust me, it works like a charm. Okay, so there you have it. That's the motivation hack that I saw on Mel's Instagram, and I thought I would share it with y'all. So be thinking about the new habit that you want to create, and maybe what's the reward that you can give yourself that will help you hack motivation to make that new behavior a habit. Because a lot of times, if things are new, it's hard to get in the routine. And so I love that Mel shared this. So in case this is something you need to try those three things. Place the trigger, do it anyway, and then reward yourself. Boom. Here we go. Third thing. So for this third thing, if you like avocados like me, and you also like getting the most avocado possible, like most meat out of there possible, you're going to love this avocado tip. Like, I never knew there was a trick to buying avocados ever until I saw at Lil Sipper post it on Instagram. Like, this is a game changer for me and buying avocados. And if you already know about this tip, like, why haven't you shared it with me? But maybe you've never heard of this either, but it's a game changer. So round, smooth skinned avocados have larger seeds. Pear shaped, bumpy skinned avocados have smaller seeds. Now, of course, I have bought both kinds. I just kind of like think which one I feel like looks best, or I feel like which one is ripe and ready to buy or whatever. Like, I buy both, and I never really knew why. And I know when I cut into them that the seeds are different sizes, but I never thought about how I'm actually getting more avocado, or I could actually know what size the seed is going to be before I even buy it and cut it open. So the point is, you're mostly buying the seed and getting less meat with smooth skins. Like, try it for yourself. Lil Sipper challenges you to try this for yourself. So definitely go for the pear-shaped, bumpy skinned avocados. And another thing that I learned from Lil Sipper, and this is from a while back, I'm just like pulling this out of the vault, but you can actually freeze avocado. Yeah, she does it, because sometimes she'll just use like a fourth avocado in a smoothie, or she'll just take a bite out of it, or she wants it to spread on something, and she doesn't eat the whole thing. So she puts the rest in the freezer, and then you can like throw it in to smoothies and it's already frozen, boom. Or you can make avocado ice cream, or maybe even just thaw it out and eat it again, and it's fine. And then if you're trying to avoid avocados from turning brown, here's another tip just from the back of my brain that a lot of people sometimes still don't know about, but you can squeeze lemon or lime on top and it won't turn brown. Like, the citric acid in the juice is going to keep the browning at bay, which is an awesome tip. Just squeeze it on there and then put in an airtight container to like get as much protection as possible. Don't just like throw it into the fridge, but airtight container. And then your guacamole or your avocado isn't going to have that nasty brown color on top that people aren't really going to want to eat. Like, my kids, if they see any brown, they're like, oh, it's ruined. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's fine. But if you're wanting to avoid that, squeeze a little lemon or lime on top. Which, speaking of avocados, more, who knew I had so much avocado knowledge in my brain right now? But I did legit just see this article about this giant avocado you can stay in. It's called the Avocondo. And it's taking reservations, but it's in Australia. So I know that that's pretty far to go, but it's located in Sydney. And if you're going, maybe you're listening right now and you're like, oh my gosh, so crazy, I'm actually planning on going to Sydney. Well, maybe you could try to stay in the Avocondo. Yeah, because it's literally shaped like an avocado. It sleeps up to two adults. It's got avocado-themed decor. It's air-conditioned. There's an electrical outlet near the bed, but no Wi-Fi or internet, just so you know, because heads up on that, that's important. And there's even a little seating area, but again, it's like the shape of an avocado, so it's not very big. And it includes linens and towels. It does not include a shower or a toilet, so you can go to booking.com if you want to know more information, but there are public facilities nearby that are open to guests if you need like a shower or a toilet. But how cool would it be to say you stayed in the Avocondo? So I don't know. I just thought that that was like an interesting thing. Like, I literally started talking about avocados and then I remembered seeing the article about the Avocondo. So I thought I would share that with y'all. I mean, you never know what you're going to learn here. Fourth thing with Amy Brown. Okay, so now it's time to talk about this crazy cracker that has lots of fiber and it'll suppress your appetite. And I learned about it from the Skinny Confidential. And pretty much, I tried the crackers and liked them. So I'm out. I don't have any crackers for my husband to try. He never has tried them, but he's here with me now.
kind of sprinkles.
Do this podcast with me. Well, first, before you try the sprinkles, you know how I eat rice cakes a lot? Like we go through, my kids even love rice cakes. I love
they just don't know any better.
Put all, no, they do know better.
You sure?
And they, yes, they like them. And I like that they like them because I'd rather them eat that than, you know, kettle corn. So I put almond butter, tahini. Go ahead. While I'm talking, you can try. You're going to try the Scandinavian fiber sprinkle. What do you think? Pretty bland.
It's definitely, like I can tell there's a, it's wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's,
there's some fiber up in there.
Definitely some fiber in there.
Okay. So on my rice cakes, I always put almond butter, avocado, you know, maybe some blueberries, some, you know, not with the avocado, but with a nut butter, some stevia, maybe sprinkle some sea salt, and then it's salty sweet with the nut butter. And I realize with the rice cakes, I'm getting a lot of carbs, but no fiber. And so if you put the same thing that I'm obsessed with putting on rice cakes on these like fiber crackers, then you're getting way less carbs and way more fiber. And we all need fiber in our diet, like especially the older that we get. So the Skinny Confidential, start following her. She's awesome. She was in Europe and she saw these girls eating these crackers out of this weird packaging. And she was like, and there's like, you know, skinny girls. And not that you have to be skinny, but I mean, she was just like, into their bodies, not overly thin, but like they had great skin and hair and all the things. So clearly they were taking care of their bodies. And so she's like, what are they eating? And as she zoomed in, she figured out they were eating these crazy crackers, the Gigi crackers. And she says,
what else can you put on this on? Can you put like a salad or a?
Well, so those are the sprinkles. So yes, you can sprinkle them into something. I have been adding them to my oatmeal. Again, I still love the carbs, but oatmeal doesn't have that much fiber. So I have been sprinkling that in and adding it to my oatmeal, and it's adding fiber, and I think that it is helping.
Oh, it says on the front.
What does it say?
It says salads, desserts, like a cupcake, cereal.
I don't know about that.
And baking.
Yeah. I've even put it in like a little cup, and I poured some almond milk on top and added some liquid stevia to it just for a little sweetness. And it's like I'm eating, you know that, did you ever eat like bran?
Yeah, but only when we're out of other things.
Bran's, like if your mom had bran, if you're out of like a cool cereal. So yeah, anyway, Ben just sampled the sprinkles and that's all I have left because
good.
I went through the crackers, y'all.
Good
the crackers
night.
Are legit. I will say they're pricier than rice cakes, but you're eating less because it does, at least for me, it has made
benefit.
Me not want to eat more. Like I do feel like, okay, I ate it. That was satisfying. I'm good. I'm done. So I got them on Amazon. Seriously?
I didn't make it up.
There's a phone ringing.
We have a phone?
We have a phone for the podcast. Huh. Let's answer
it. Is it Gigi?
Hello? Hello? It's an automated important announcement for people. Oh, awesome. If you're between ages 18 and 85, there's a new burial plan. Is that kind of morbid?
Well, we should suggest Gigi Scandinavian fiber sprinkles so that they live longer
in
between 18 and 85.
Yeah, if you're 85, you need these Gigi sprinkles in your life probably. So anyway, these crackers are dubbed the appetite control cracker. I've mentioned that. But here is the actual legit description from the crackers. The Appetite Control Cracker GG Scandinavian brand crisp bread has the highest dietary fiber and is an all-natural, traditionally baked Scandinavian crisp bread. At just 12 calories a slice and 2 net carbs, GG is ideal for those who are trying to lose weight or maintain a healthy body weight. Now, listen here. I'm not putting this out there as some like diet miracle food by any means, but I'm just saying for me, it's been a great alternative to my rice cake addiction.
Well, sometimes you just get snacky. Like you just want a snack.
Right.
I just need something.
I get snacky and I have the rice cakes
and
I end up probably having more than I should. But with the bland crackers, you don't want any more. Like you're satisfied. Like it fulfills that. You put the awesome toppings on top. Like Skinny Confidential in her blog post about it, she puts like suggestions as to how to eat them and her favorite flavors. And in the blog post, she mentions Kelly Levesque, our girl Kelly, Be Well by Kelly. She said that she reached out to Kelly and she said that they are a great fiber source. So that's awesome. I trust her. And they have them in flavors like raisin and honey. And they even have a pumpkin flavored one. I think that's what I need to order next.
I did the honey for sure.
Yeah, I'll order those. And again, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I'll put the stuff on my Amazon page so that you know what these, because it might be confusing for you to find. And you might be like, am I buying the right?
Gigi is literally G and G.
The right one, but just to make sure you get the right ones in case you're interested. But she has, like, she said she does, like, maybe peanut butter or raw almond butter, and then she mashes up raspberries on top. So it's like a peanut butter and jelly. Nice. Or you could do, which I do this on my rice cake, but now I'm doing it on my Gigi Scandinavian crackers.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. It looks like it's from, I mean, it is from another country. That's why, but it looks foreign.
Yeah,
like if you see this in your pantry, you're going to be like, what is this? But you could do some avocado with some sea salt and maybe some cayenne pepper and some sprouts and a little mustard or something. Like that would be really yummy.
I think this would just be, for me, like, especially dinner time, just a good thing, like filler, throw on a salad. Like, no kidding.
Just sprinkle on there.
Just sprinkle it on there and it would be just kind of hold you over, just be more.
It adds more. Yeah. The more fiber you add to your meals, the better. Which Kelly Levesque, I know, mentioned her. And I talk about her all the time and how I want to get her on the podcast, Be Well by Kelly. And I will. We have communicated about it. It just hasn't been nailed down. But her four main things in her Fab Four plan is protein, fiber, greens, and fat. So that is what she says to focus on. And I think a lot of times we don't realize that we're not having any fiber. So there you go. You can, like Ben was saying, sprinkle some of these Scandinavian fiber sprinkles on your meals to get it. Or you can get the actual crackers and make little snacks. She even suggests here, Ben, you'll like this one. These crackers are a great vehicle for turkey or ham. You can get creative here with mustard, hummus, or a spicy sauce and make a little Scandinavian oat bran turkey cracker sandwich.
We make nachos out of it? Like what?
I don't think so, babe. I don't know. And then don't eat dairy, so what would the cheese be?
Well, you don't have to put cheese on nachos. You can put like fresh
black beans and salsa.
Yeah, black and like cut up vegetables and onions and jalapenos and all kinds of stuff.
I don't feel like these have a Mexican feel. They're more Scandinavian.
You need to get outside the box. They get along fine.
Yeah, but I love that you had not tried them before. I made you try them right here, right before we got that random phone call.
Just seeing how I can scoop up my favorite stuff. What about pizza? Can I make a crust out of it?
The Skinny Confidential talks about that.
Done. See,
she says pizza is a great idea.
Page. Same
you page. Can do maybe some sauce if you do eat cheese, like some grass-fed mozzarella or something on there. Ooh, or goat cheese would be amazing. That's our dairy exception. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'll have dairy. I'm not saying it's like a no. Like, I will consume it, but I tend to feel better and notice my skin is better when I avoid dairy. But I do love me some goat cheese, which my body does digest differently than other types of cheese. So that's why I allow myself to have it more, but anyhoosie, there you go. There's the crazy cracker that I wanted to recommend to you and to also tell you if you're not following Skinny Confidential, you should. Her website is theskinnyconfidential.com and she also has an Instagram page. On there you can find like Facebook. She blogs like crazy. Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube. Her and her husband do a podcast. So look, like us, babe. Mm-hmm. No, they're like legit. She has like tons of followers and, you know, her husband communicates. You're not even saying anything.
Well, you keep talking. When am I going to start? When am I supposed to talk? I'm just looking at you. If you take a breath, I'll talk.
Because I was saying like they have a podcast and I started talking about it. You were just staring at me like, okay.
I'm waiting for the pause.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I paused.
Yeah. That's amazing. Great couple.
Congrats.
Work together.
To them. Mm-hmm. We should listen to it together, see if we can get some tips.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But they talk about they get risque sometimes, talk about topics that we probably wouldn't talk about, which is fine. I love that they do it.
What are you talking about? You crushed me from the first time I was on a podcast.
I didn't crush, no, but we didn't talk about dirty things or.
We talked about infertility on day one.
Okay.
Podcast 0100001 was, wow. Hey, so let's talk about infertility.
If that's your definition of risque, then that's interesting.
Wow.
Okay, this concludes the podcast. Well, we've got the email shout out coming up, which I've done already. Full disclosure, I already recorded that before I recorded this with my husband. This is the fourth thing.
Full transparency.
Mm-hmm. Full transparency. I mean, you know, we don't keep anything from you when the phone rings in the middle of the podcast and we don't stop and start recording again. I'm not sure how professional that is.
Do we know that number?
I don't even know the number, but I guess now it's a number that exists because it's a number I can call to do interviews on for the podcast. So I guess it's a number out there now. I mean, these...
Somebody has it.
Telemarketer people, they...
The number, bots. All the bots have it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. All the bots. Okay, over and out. Okay, that's it. That's the four things for today's episode. A big thank you to Jeremy for coming on, and he will be back, but if y'all want to follow him on Instagram, his handle is Jeremy Cowart, just that. So Jeremy Cowart, like Cow Art. So definitely give him a follow, especially if you're into anything that he was saying and his cool projects. And I don't know, he's just super inspiring. And as y'all know, this is typically, well, maybe you don't know, maybe you're a new listener and you have no idea, but typically at the end of each episode, I do an email shout out. Last week with Trisha Yearwood, I didn't do an intro or an outro because my time with Trisha, was so long and I didn't want to add more to it. So apologize for not having the email shout out on that one. But today we've got one and it's from Samantha. So here you go. Hey, Amy, I only recently started listening to the podcast, so I sort of started out of order. I decided to go back and start from the beginning, and I listen to an episode every day on my way home from work. I'm a few episodes deep now, and I've debated about even writing this email, but the unanswered prayers episode really resonated with me and had me in tears on my ride home. My husband and I have struggled with infertility for almost 10 years. I related with you when you spoke about seeing a negative test month after month and how soul-crushing it is and asking God, why me? I cannot say that I've always been the most religious person, and I wasn't sure if I entirely believed in the term, it happens for a reason. At the beginning of this year, we decided to try a new approach to our journey. That new approach brought to life a major health issue that we had no idea I had. Had I gotten pregnant not knowing about this condition, it could have ended fatally for both me and an unborn child. It caused me to take a step back and assess my situation. It made me really question if there was a reason all along we were not getting pregnant. Maybe this was the reason. Maybe God knew all along, but my impatient mind couldn't see that. I felt like this was an unanswered prayer and I just had to be patient. Sorry this is a long email, but something inside of me told me I had to thank you for the words you spoke in that episode. Okay, so thank you, Samantha, for that email. I'm glad you decided to share it, even though you debated about even writing it, because it's emails like this that remind me why, you know, we're on here. Sometimes I'm on here like feel like I'm talking to myself, but this helps me know that y'all are out there and things are resonating with you and they mean something to you. So whether it's, you know, a topic that I've chosen or a guest that I have had on, like if it touches y'all in, you know, one way or another, or at least even just one of you, not even multiple of you, then I know that I've done my job and that warms my heart a lot. So thank you, Samantha, for writing the email. Thank you to everybody that sends emails in. Sorry, I can't always read all of them on the air, but definitely do appreciate it and appreciate y'all listening and subscribing and writing and reviewing. And Samantha's going all the way back to the beginning, even though she just recently started the podcast. So if you haven't gone back to listen to some old episodes, maybe you could do like she does and listen to one every day while you're driving to or from work or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to go review, then 5 stars. Just kidding. Unless, you know, you really feel like it's 5 stars. And then maybe write something nice. That'd be cool. Because my boss is like that. Okay, thanks. Bye. Be kind to joy. Laugh a lot. E-K. E-K. Be kind to joy. Laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things. Little food for your soul, baby. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful thing. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things. With Amy Brown.